Beginning to read from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 29, entitled Talks Between Narada and King Prachinaparihi. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Sarasvatim Vyasam
Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya
Bhagavati
Uttama Shloke
Bhakti
Bhavati Naishiki.
When we engage ourselves in the devotional service of the Lord,
To become Krishna conscious, we understand not only Krishna, but everything related to Krishna. In other words, through Krishna consciousness, we can understand not only Krishna and the cosmic manifestation, but also our constitutional position. In Krishna consciousness, we can understand that the entire material creation is created by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, maintained by Him, annihilated by Him, and absorbed in Him. We are also part and parcel of the Lord. Everything is under the control of the Lord, and therefore our only duty is to surrender unto the Supreme and engage in this transcendental loving service.
How
does not give up the subtle body even when it is in deep sleep. And through the concept of dream, how when the gross body is still stable, subtle body goes on to experience good and bad. In the same way, when you die, the subtle body takes you to the new gross body according to the desires that you have. And more technical explanation about how even though the senses don't come in contact with sense objects, one shouldn't think that they are very clean and pure, because or liberated. So even a child has got desires inside, it's just that the gross body is not developed yet. So when you have undeveloped senses, that does not indicate that you would have no desires inside, it's just a matter of time. Or when you are in deep sleep, you shouldn't think that you are liberated, because the senses are, the subtle body is still active. Then with the analogy of caterpillar, Narada explained the transmigration of the body to the transmigration of the soul to the next body, which is the prime reason being the mind. Nayam janomi sukha dukha hetu na devatatma kritha karma kala manam param karanamanti samsara chakram parivartate. Nayam janomi. It's not the people around you who give you sukha dukha, na devata, not the demigods, not your own body, not your own house, not your activities, not the time, kriha karma kala, but mind, manam, param karma. So that was explained in 76-77, the cause of samsara. You have desires for sense enjoyment, and other people, when you perform those material activities, and that causes starts with inclination, then you work on those thoughts which come, which cross by you, and then you focus more on that, then develop attachment. Then you actually lose your intelligence, and finally you end up doing the activity which again creates another impression. So you are driven by those past impression. But this 79th verse begins by telling how to get out of the cycle of desire for enjoyment and material activities or pigment that's caught up in the samsara cycle, which is the root causes of avidya. So therefore, bhajan sarvatmana, that's being talked about in this particular verse. Bhajat sarvatmana Hari, start worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead to counteract ignorance. So in his lectures to the 7.1 verse, Prabhupada Bhagavad Gita 7.1, which is Maya Shakta Mahapartha, which we just now read, he explains why a living entity should know about the greatness of the Lord. What is the reason? He is the creator, he is the maintainer, he is the destroyer, he is the controller. Why should a living entity know those details? Because if you don't know a person, how can you develop attachment for a person? That was Prabhupada's logical point. Then, second is the living entity is condition, and it must know that there is a supreme controller who is all powerful. That knowledge of the Lord's greatness, as to how great the Lord is and how He is creating, maintaining, and destroying, this entire universe. How great the Lord is, the greatness of the Lord has to be known, that knowledge has to be given to the living entity, so that he develops a sense of bond reverence and a sense of gratitude towards the Lord. You can't straight away start with love of God. It begins with accepting that there is a supreme authority above me, and he is the one who has created the place that I am living in at the moment. He is the one who is maintaining me by supplying the five elements, which we try to manipulate, and he is the one who is maintaining us. This Lord is the one who is sending forth the demigods and the process of Yajna, and then he blesses, saying, cooperate with the demigods by performing sacrifices and you'll be happy. So a person who's not straight away able to take the process of bhakti, but has got some propensity to follow Vedas and follow the rules and regulations prescribed in that, to attain material objective still is a good starting point. And that's where King Prasannabhakti started before he met Narada. Now he is transformed. So the principle is, one has to know the greatness of the Lord, that he is the creator, maintainer, destroyer of this universe. So from greatness begins the sense of duty or gratitude, and from there you begin. So you are willing to follow the scriptural rules and injunctions, even though you have material desires, you are approaching the Vedas to fulfill them. So it's a sign of piety. So if a person wants to do a yajna, what happens? So he has to call priests. He has to clean himself, put clean clothes. And his consciousness elevates. Compare that with him, the same person, preparing himself to go to a cricket match or to go to a pub. Or go to a party, what is his consciousness, what is his dress code, and what are the expectations? And look at that same person preparing himself to do a yajna. He's materially attached, he wants to fulfill his desires. So, he's going to call priestly people. So, in front of them, his good side comes up. He wears clean clothes, he cleans himself, he cleans the house to invite them, invite guests. And the whole consciousness is different in a different plane. And when they come, when the priest comes, he is inclined to listen to them. At least during that period. During that period, if the priests are broad-minded and they are not concerned only with their maintenance and looking to do the yajna just to get the money from this wealthy person, if they are broad-minded, they will share transcendental knowledge with such a materially motivated person. So from there begins the journey for a materially attached person. So from then onwards, the consciousness of the person will gradually change if he takes up process. In the purport to this particular verse 7.1, Prabhupada talks a lot about transformation of consciousness and then sequence of sense engagement and how you develop attachment. So let's focus on that. So I'll be drawing points from, of course, from Prabhupada lectures, and also points lecture from devotee from Govardhana Kabir. His name is Balaram Shakti Guru. He has talked about desires, which I'll try to touch upon. So in this Mayyashakta Guna Pathala, Yoga Junjan Madashaya, Asamshan Samakrama Vitalanash Nyashashita Shunu. In case of Prashambhai, we began with the tendency to hear, just hear. So that's what Arjuna is being told by Krishna, Tat Shunu, just try to hear. So just by that tendency to hear from an authority, your spiritual life begins. So Prabhupada here says, concentration of the mind upon Krishna is made possible by prescribed devotional service in 9 different forms, of which Shravanam is the first and most important. Therefore, the Lord therefore says to Arjuna, Tat Shunu, hear from me. So by that, if you look at the translation, how I practice yoga in full consciousness of me. So consciousness at the top level, mind attached to me. Obviously, we know the sequence, the gradation of senses, mind intelligence, and then the consciousness is on top. So the activities are performed through the senses. We can keep that as point A. The mind and intelligence are higher than that. They can be either spiritual or material, we can keep that as point B. And consciousness is at the top, we can keep that as point C. Now, when we engage in activities, obviously we are using our intelligence, and that's how we put effort, endeavor. If you look at the 5 factors of success, Krishna explains in the 18th chapter, he explains Adhishtana Tata Karta Karnancha Tritakadam Vividasta Tritakadam Daiva Chaiva Karnancha. So the 5 factors are the body, the senses, the soul itself, and the different kinds of endeavor. And then Daiva is with the Lord. So consciousness, so you must be living in, and then you must be using your intelligence, and then your senses must be engaged in activities. And we take this framework of consciousness on the top level, intelligence and mind, and the next level, the senses. Any activity to be done, this is required. Let's apply this to our materials. How about you turn off the notifications, Prabhu? Rajat Prabhu? Turn off the notifications. So if we apply this framework to a materialist, his consciousness is fully based on material knowledge. That's what is driving him. So that consciousness for material knowledge, that is what is driving his intelligence and the mind. And the senses are acting in that way. So consciousness equals activity, because that is what is driving, is manifested in the gross form as your activities. So if your consciousness is driven by material force or material knowledge, that's what will result in the activities. So what you refer to at the level of consciousness comes out to the level of activity. So if you're referring to material knowledge, if your consciousness is polluted by such materialistic or scientific way of looking at things, so that's what will manifest. And within that, you could be following morals or you could be acting immorally. You could be following the state laws to lead a materialistic life driven by all those philosophies. Or you could be driven by the same philosophy but leading an impious life or immoral life by making a livelihood, by doing illegal things. So within materialistic, then you have pious or moral or immoral activities. Then comes our person like Prachinpati, who is having material desires, but he follows the authority of the Vedas. So his consciousness is not completely pure or Krishna conscious, and but still he has got that buddhi or intelligence to go to Vedas, although his senses are still demanding sense gratification, they are not completely pure, but he uses the Vedas to gratify his senses. Then that activity is said to be pious because he is following the rules. Again, consciousness is directed by some sections of the Vedas, so that's what you see. You want to see different types of sense gratification, that's what Krishna says, I give you the intelligence. So if that's what you want to see, the Vedas will show you that. Krishna says, second chapter, that's the forest of enjoyment. One has to come out of it. So if that's what you want to see, that's what your consciousness or mind is going towards. So that's what will manifest as elaborate sacrifices. The activities that you perform based on that is these elaborate sacrifices which may involve animal killing. Now, because he is taking up the path of transcendence, his propensity to enjoy will gradually loosen, because he is constantly in touch with the sentient people who are giving him advice. Now, as his desire to enjoy is getting loosened, he will ask his mind enjoying the sacrifice process itself gets elevated, because sacrifice in itself is a way of purifying. So you become purified gradually of your material desires, but you are still attached to the work itself. You still haven't given up the work. So that's the level of Nishkama Karma, where you are gradually getting detached from the results, but you are still attached to the work. Your mind and consciousness are not completely pure yet, and your activities are also not completely pure, because the consciousness still is not fully, it's not Maya Shakta, it is not completely focused on Krishna yet, but there is, you are on the right path. Now, as he, this Nishkama Karma Yogi, is carrying on with his activities of doing his duties, slowly bringing in transcendence as the goal, leaving this material world, not having a plan to settle in this material world, that is slowly getting loosened up, and is transcending. He wants to get out of this material world. So at that time, there is a predominance of jnana. Now the mistake that person can make at that time is thinking that his consciousness has become cleansed and he can give up the prescribed duties. So that is a mistake, because consciousness is there, then the senses, consciousness is impure at this stage, the senses are active, the mind and intelligence are still not very pure yet. So you are suddenly stopping the activities with an impure consciousness. So Krishna explains that such a case, you will still be dwelling on the sense objects because your consciousness is not completely pure. What is the way out of such a mityachara, such a person who is artificially renouncing the activities which are done at the level of senses, but still the consciousness is not pure, which is at the top. So Krishna describes that it is better that such a person engages in his prescribed duties which are meant to purify him. So don't give up activity prematurely thinking that your consciousness is pure. Because it is the activities which are prescribed according to your conditioned nature. That is what is going to purify you. Prescribed duties are coming from the Vedas. Vedas are coming from the Lord. So if you prematurely give up your prescribed duties, analyzing this framework of consciousness, intelligence and the senses, senses are active and consciousness is impure still, and suddenly you are giving up activities. So the senses are going to dwell on the sense objects internally, but externally you will be bearing the rest of the renunciation. So that is rejected by Krishna, and he encourages that a sincere person means he understands that his consciousness is still impure and his senses are active, his mind and intelligence are also not pure. So let me engage in proper activity. So that proper activity is the prescribed duty. So one should not give up prescribed duty in an immature stage. Now, prescribed duties, when they are done with Krishna in the center, with pleasing Guru and Krishna as the objective, you are doing those activities, even though your consciousness is not pure yet, you are taking up the process. You are engaging your mind in the activities related to devotional service, knowing well that your consciousness is not completely pure. So that is when you start to practice Vairisadhana Bhakti. And Krishna describes that when for such a sincere person, I give them the intelligence. So that's when the with the intelligence given by Krishna, you are engaging your senses, which are active, which is what we saw as at the lower level, which are impure and active, are there getting active engagements. Simultaneously, your consciousness is also getting purified. So that's when the purification is happening at all levels. Seva darpana marjanam. So the senses are being purified because they have active engagements. So the mind is focusing on the thinking, feeling and willing are all focused on doing a particular service for the Lord. I may not have spontaneous attraction, but I am being told, let me do it as a matter of duty. By that, internally the consciousness is being purified. This is when the sequence of contemplating on the objects of the senses developing attachment. Now that you are given a feel of a spiritual environment and your senses are allowed to come in contact with the sense objects which are all spiritual, and you develop attachment to such spiritual engagements, and your mind is starting to is getting some engagement, plus your intelligence is being purified, because it is referring to spiritual knowledge, which is how the sequence works. Knowledge, spiritual knowledge directing the intelligence, and that spiritualized intelligence control the mind and the senses. So such a vaidhi sadhana bhakta still has got material desires in them. Still his character is not completely reformed yet. His swabhava has not changed completely. Will that disqualify a person who is practicing bhakti? Scriptures describe that bhakti yoga is the only process that allows a person from any social status, any country background, any gender background, without prior purification, even with full of material desires, to take up the process, to start the process. So now we are moving into that section of discussion where we will talk about desires which are driven by your conditioned nature versus the desires which are born, or desires which you want to fulfill as a matter of duty, which is given to you based on a value system. So two things: desires born out of swabhava, or desires born out of your value system or duty based on your faith, shraddha, swabhava versus shraddha. So a person, when starting bhakti or even when doing bhakti, his nature of being not well behaved or rude or crude, those tendencies may not have gone completely. Some swabhava, some nature, as Arjuna himself says, that against my nature I am being pushed. To act in acting order. What is that force? So, if we look at swabhava, which we little bit touched upon, which comes from vasanas, which basically comes from improper activities, which come from contemplating on the sense of the world, falling from the sequence. So that swabhava itself can have a lot of anarthas. At the same time, such a person is not disqualified from taking up bhakti. We don't say that unless you have all your material desires eradicated, you can't give initiation in bhakti process. It's not one of the items that we pick when we apply for initiation. In that case, the number of devotees getting initiated will be drastically less. But what we say is, you take up the process of you accept that Krishna is my ultimate maintainer, protector, and have faith in Guru and Krishna. So that Shraddha, Dha means give, Shra means heart. So that Shraddha is planted in the heart of a person who has got material desires, whose swabhava is not very good. He may be rude and crude, having some bad habits. That does not disqualify from the shraddha being implanted in such a person. Now, the directions of the spiritual masters come into place. Okay, you're getting up at a certain period, start regulating eating, sleeping. So he is given a gradual introduction into a value system which is based on scriptures. And slowly his desires will start to go in that direction of seeking those directions given by the value system, which is the Shastras. Because Guru is going to teach based on Shastras, but he brings it down to the level that the candidate can take at this point. Just like we have concentrated medicine, then there's a doctor who takes the medicine and okay, for you, for the intensity of your ailment, you take this much and this particular period. So that's the role of the Guru. So he sets up a value system. When you are following this process, engage in spiritual activities, and gradually your swabhava will change. We don't focus on the don'ts first. As per proper strategy, we focus on the do's. Chant Hare Krishna, eat prasadam, come to temple, do service. So the active senses are getting some engagement. If you reflect on, I did this reflection on my own devotional journey, where initially what was the thing that I was involved in, what are the type of services that I was involved in, was more hands-on. And I checked with few other devotees, it matched, like we're given a lot of hands-on services. Because at that time, the mind and the consciousness, citta, are not completely pure. But that did not disqualify us from taking a bhakti. So we were engaged in, given a lot of hands-on services by which your body is actively engaged. So take for example to mop this temple room. And you start to breath, where is the mopping stick, where is the towel, where is the bucket, where is the water, where is the solution to put in, how much to put in. So all my mind and intelligence are engaged in that. But I am not completely pure. So this is where the consciousness in which you are doing the activity also depends. I could be doing it just like our Prabhu is giving the altar now. So the activity is there, then the engagement of mind and intelligence is there, and then the consciousness is there. So let's take one scenario. I could be gradually coming and cleaning the temple. Nobody is there, I have to do it. So the activity hasn't changed, but the consciousness is not proper. So the mind could be planning about doing the next activity or getting out and doing something else. Or the second scenario is your consciousness, your intelligence and the senses are in the same time and you are applying the process. So that's when the actual purification happens. Even though the process is powerful, we still need to have to apply it. I may not want to do it, but okay, spiritual master has given me at least to fulfill his desire, his words, I'll do it as a matter of duty. I don't have spontaneous interaction like Ambarish Maharaj yet, but I have faith in this person who is giving me this knowledge, who is coming up to my level and explaining the process and telling me. By that faith, just by that desire to please the Lord, we take this walking the temple example, every engagement is happening, and in the background, if your consciousness is to please Guru, Krishna does something in the background. Krishna does some creation, maintenance and destruction within you. He is going to plant, he is going to create more seeds of desires inside your heart to do more devotional service, and he is going to maintain those desires by reciprocating with you and giving you more services, more devotee association, that's how the Lord maintains the bhakti inside us through the association of Guru and through the instructions. Even if we don't get reciprocation from the Lord, He is still maintaining us by giving us the buddhi to properly do the activities. Because, as I said, I could be gradually cleaning the temple, so Krishna from within will give the intelligence. Prabhupada in his purport says that you are attached to a spiritual institution, you have a spiritual master, still, if you are making mistakes, Krishna from within will destroy the ignorance with the lamp of knowledge. That's what Krishna promises, that my devotee may not be completely pure yet. He could be even committing abominable acts, but he is bhajate maam. If such a devotee continuously engages in his devotional service, his swabhava may not be pure yet. Once in a while he may engage in some abominable activity, but his shraddha is strong. He doesn't go to the demigods to fulfill his desires. Whether he has got material desires, whether he has got physical ailments, everything he comes to me. At this point his senses are not controlled. But still, bhajate maam ananya bhav. Kshipram bhavati dharmatma. So he does the destruction of the material desires, anattas. This is how the Lord is doing creation, maintenance and destruction outside in terms of creating this sthana, which is the place for us to live, poshana, by giving the material elements. And finally, as time factor, he destroys everything. Whoever has taken birth has to die, but the duty has to go on. Jatasya hi dhruvam mrityu dhruvam janma mrityasya cha tasmat aparihariyate natvam shochitam arhasi. So as a person, even a beginning sadhaka who has not completely purified himself yet, when he prays to the Lord to remove the anarthas which are born out of his swabhava and prays to the Lord to fulfill those spiritual desires that he is simultaneously experiencing and which he wants to fulfill, the desire of his spiritual master, the desire to chant quality rounds, desire to come for morning program, that is the value system, that's what the Shraddha is telling him to do. But he is torn apart by attraction to the opposite sex, not able to control senses, behaving rashly, all that of the anartha. So a Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakta has to keep the goal as Lord Krishna, even though he is faced with the roadblocks like which are put forward by the anarthas. What he should not do is contaminate his consciousness with a desire for getting out of this material world, which is liberation, contamination of consciousness through jnana. That's how you get the jnana-nishtha-bhakti. So you have consciousness which is fully on Krishna, this is the topmost, and then you have consciousness, I want to reach, but I want to get out of the world first. That is my main objective. For that I am doing bhakti, which means that consciousness is polluted by jnana. So that is jnana nishtha. Or Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakta is more a hands-on person. He gets things done and he wants, takes up his projects, gets a lot of resources, shows a lot of results. The inclination inside is to show that he is good at organizing, he is good at managing people, he is good at managing wealth. So that karma, so that contamination is the karma mishra. We're doing the activities told by Guru, we're doing the activities told by the authorities, which is all spiritual bhakti, but the karma mishra comes in, the consciousness gets affected by that. The six Goswamis, I think especially the Manasiksha is written by Raghunandhas Goswami, I think. So if we read that, then these roadblocks can, it is a step by step process. So how we get contaminated at different levels is given there, and we can eliminate it. So that's how we need to observe. I need to observe my consciousness as to when it is being polluted by extra additional desires other than to please the Lord. This is coming from Jnana Goyalo, just get out of this world first. Is that my actual aim? But still, I'll pray to the Lord. Kama, sarva kama, moksha kama. If I want only moksha, okay, I'll pray to the Lord. The Lord, by His sweetness, by revealing His sweetness, He will take away those desires for liberation, desires for yogi perfection, because that is also another form of contamination which will come in, because you are able to influence so many people, so many wealth and power is given to you. You could be directing people's lives. You could be thinking that these are all mine. I'm getting some perfections, so let me aim for more. So that is also another kind of contamination of consciousness. So consciousness, intelligence and the activities. If the consciousness is polluted at that level, that will affect everything else. So the curve goes like that. If it's at the top is pure, then everything else will fall in place. But if there's any contamination on top, then it affects everything else. So better is to stick to the value system, desire bound or value system, then and watch out for the conditioning that creeps in once in a while, or often, depends on which stage of devotional life you are in. And for either cases, for fulfilling material, for getting rid of anarthas and for fulfilling spiritual desires which are born out of Shraddha, pray to the Lord. Now, this framework of Svabhava and Shraddha, Balaram Shakti Prabhu quotes Jaiva Dharma, that's where the officially it is there. Those one read the can, because he was giving a lecture on this topic. The verses that I have quoted from Bhagavad Gita 9.30, 9.31. Act as a contradiction existing, but they are not Ananyava, but he is Abhishek Siddhartha. How could that be? So that's how you see that he has a value system which is given by the law, but at the same time he is pulled by the Abhishek Siddhartha. Durachara is also there. So the principle is one need not disqualify himself or others for taking up bhakti or continuing to practice bhakti. Other verses that he was saying was about Svabhava, talks about in 3.33 and 3.34 as well. Verses. Now that you know the concept, if you want to know where is it based on Shastra, Even a man of knowledge, this is 3.33, even a man of knowledge acts according to his own nature. For everyone follows the nature he has acquired from the three modes. So this is your Swabhava. There are principles to regulate attachment and aversion. Okay, which is talking about attachment to sense objects. One should not come under the control of such attachment and aversion. And then 9:30, 9:31, we discuss that. And we also talked about how the Lord internally does the creation of exposing you through Guru and Sadhus to create more desires in your heart, and he is planting the Bhaktilata beach in your heart through Guru, and you also have responsibility as a sadhaka to maintain it, because Chaitanya Chaitanya the verse described that you have to maintain that by constant hearing and guarding the against offenses of Vaishnava by putting a proper fence. So that is our responsibility. So Krishna does his part, and we also have to do our part in protecting the bhakti and maintaining the bhakti, and also encourage ourselves when we are blocked by our own anatta, and encourage others in the path of bhakti. So I will conclude with a prayer by Hanuman and the vow of Lord Ram. So these are set of prayers from the fifth canto. It talks about how anyone can take up devotional service and how easy it is to please the Lord. So this is Canto 5, Chapter 19, Text 3 onwards is the prayers offered by Hanuman to Lord Ram. This is Text 7. Na jalmanu na mahato na saukagam na vam na buddhej na kritis tosha etu तैयर विशिष्टान अभिनवनावकाशस चकार सक्ये पदलक्ष्मणां प्रजा परपोरित ऑल्सो वेरी इंस्ट्रक्टिव एंड इवन द प्रीवियस वर्स या सो 6 and 7 आर वेरी इंस्पायरिंग नावै सह आत्मा मतवतां श्रुतवान् त्रिलोक्यां भगवान् वासुदेवः न स्त्रीकृतं कृष्णमश्नुवीत न लक्ष्मणं चापि विहातुं नर्हति. Since Lord Ramachandra is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva, he is not attached to anything in this material world. He is the most beloved super soul of all self-realized souls, and he is their very intimate friend. He is full of all opulences. Therefore, he could not possibly have suffered because of separation from his wife, nor could he have given up his wife and Lakshmana his younger brother to give up either, would have been absolutely impossible. One cannot establish a friendship with the Supreme Lord Ramachandra on the basis of material qualities such as one's birth in an aristocratic family, one's personal beauty, one's eloquence, one's sharp intelligence, or one's superior race or nation. None of these qualifications actually a prerequisite for friendship with Lord Sri Ramachandra. So whatever can't be achieved is done. Is removed. Otherwise, how is it possible that although we uncivilized inhabitants of the forest have not taken noble words, although we have no physical beauty, and although we cannot speak like gentlemen, Lord Ramachandra has nevertheless accepted us as friends. And this is like the next verse. Is the what we call icing the cake. Sudo Sudova Pyatavana Ronara Sarva Naya Sukutana Muttamam Bajetaramam Manuchakatim Hariam Yahutaramanya Koshalam Divampiti. Therefore, this is Lord Raman saying, whether one is a demigod or a demon, a man or a creature other than man, such as a beast or bird, everyone should worship Lord Ramachandra, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who appears on this earth just like a human being. There is no need of great austerities or penances to worship the Lord, for he accepts even a small service offered by his devotee. Thus he is satisfied, and as soon as he is satisfied, the devotee is successful. Indeed, Lord Ramachandra brought all the devotees of Ayodhya back home, back to Godhead, Vaikuntha. So, Nipapa Prabhupada extends the mercy of Lord Ram to Lord Krishna, to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, Prabhupada says, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is therefore represented in the six-palm form of Sarvajanmuti, combination of Lord Ramachandra, Lord Krishna and Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The best purpose of human life can be fulfilled by worshipping the Sarvajanmuti, the form of the Lord with six arms. Two arms of Lord Ramachandra, two arms of Krishna and two arms of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this is what the devotee who is Ayashakta Man, who has got his mind attached to the Lord, that's how he is praying. And as I said, the Lord also does creation, maintenance and destruction within the heart of the devotee. What does the Lord say for to such a surrendered person? It is my vow that if one only once, one only once, seriously surrenders unto me, saying, my dear Lord, from this day I am yours. My dear Lord, from this day I am yours. And prays to me for courage, I shall immediately award courage to that person, and he will always remain safe from that time on. So from our side, we have to seriously surrender. When you look at the word serious, you look at the meaning of it. Characterized by careful consideration or application. So this is the Vairisadhana Bhakti, where even though we are disqualified by being a beast or an animal or an unqualified person, but if a person is able to be serious, which means he is carefully considering and applying, acting or speaking sincerely and in earnest rather than in joking or a half-hearted manner. So serious surrender is required from our side. Sakrit eva prapanna, yes. So that prapanna is from our side. Anyone who, even if Ravana comes and tells this, Lord Ramachandra is accepting. Tava asmi iti, I am yours, yachate, he prays. Dadami, I give. So the word Dadami, Krishna also uses Dadami. Krishna gives Buddhi, Lord Rama is giving courage. So, good combination. Worshipping Lord Rama, we get courage. Worshipping Lord Krishna, we get Buddhi. Abhayam, Sarvada, not just for the period of surrender. Lord Rama says, he'll save, he will remain safe from that time on. Abhayam sarvada tasmai dadami etat. Lord Ram is giving a vow. His Malayala Purushottam, he doesn't break his vows. The father said, go to the forest, no questions. Yes. Yes, sir. And he left. So, probably some other insensitive or whatever. Person who has got no capabilities, he is giving a promise, what's the use in it? But if the Lord, who is all powerful, he is giving a promise. So, Lord Rama is saying, wow, so he said, he kills with one arrow and he always takes his word, one word, one arrow. That's Lord Rama. Okay, Mata, okay, Mata. Just one. So, such a person is giving a vow, so we should take us as a reciprocation, and we can, this is how the Lord maintains, by giving such, revealing his heart and in the background destroying the anatta sudarshan through the lamp of knowledge. So this is how we can see creation, maintenance, destruction is happening outside, process is happening inside as well. So I'll conclude here. If anyone has got any questions, comments, corrections on what we discussed today.
Even if you do have have a little, or even just come to say in front of the others, I am yours, and you become mine. So it's like dukkha, like 6. And
going back to Bhagavad, we need to completely pure. But here Lord Ram is saying, the prayer which Hanuman is quoting is, he is referring that Lord Ram taking his, when he was in plan, taking all the rest of the plan home. But I think they are two separate things. The eligibility to do bhakti, that was what was enforced in that particular verse, whether you are a demigod or qualified or not qualified, do devotional book. That's how Prabhupada also translate the prayer of Hanuman. Do little bit of service to God, and that satisfies him. Whereas going back to our life is a complete purity is expected. The emphasis is more on whether you're pure or not, start where you are. Service. So this Maya Shakta also probably perform devotional service, and then Prahlad Maharaj's prayers about Shravan Kirtan, the second part of create a Bhagavad-gita means one has to perform. So Prabhupada went to a meeting which said one has to perform. So that was the emphasis. So becoming completely pure. Yes, it is possible to go back to Godhead only if you are completely pure. Yes, that is always there, that requirement is always there. But my emphasis was more on the Lord taking responsibility of cleaning your heart, whereas in other processes, the responsibility lies with you. You are alone in that. There's here a lot of instances. Having awakened faith in the narration of my glories, this is speaking in Vaisadhana Bhakti, is given as a definition of Vaisadhana Bhakti. Having awakened the faith in the narration of my glories, Jata Shraddha Matkatashu Nirvigna Sarva Karmashu, disgusted, being disgusted with all material activities, knowing that all sense gratification leads to misery, is disgusted, but still being unable to renounce all sense enjoyment. My devotee should remain happy and worship me with great faith and conviction. So that Shraddha, that's what Krishna looks at. He doesn't look at the Abhishek. So he doesn't look at the Sudhuddha Duracara, because he knows that eventually he will become pure. Even though he is sometimes engaged in sense enjoyment, my devotee knows that all sense gratification leads to a miserable result, and he sincerely repents such activities. Grahayam, repenting of. So, that conclusion at least one must come to, that this world is not for me. I can't make up my myself in my business, but still I have some lingering attachments which pull me sometimes towards, but I'll be fixed. So in your Shraddha basically should not be shaken. If that is shaken, that's when you go elsewhere. You turn back and that's when. So Shraddha, faith and conviction has to be that even though you have not very perfected behavior yet. So here also the word bhajate, bhajeta is used, and Prabhupada says he should worship. Prita, remaining happy. Shraddha, being faithful. Dhrida, nishchaya, with resolute conviction. If you look at the word, the meaning of 11, 20, 27.
activities with a proper consciousness.
So that's why the consciousness frame of mind. If I could be doing temple cleaning and grudging there, so I won't get reciprocation. So what is the point? So then Krishna, from within, he will give a bhuti saying to the teachers, saying that do the activity with the proper consciousness. It's like trying to plug things into a power. I don't turn on the switch. Nothing comes. It's a small step, but it's a crucial step. So that's why consciousness is not turned on properly. I could be doing the activities. I won't get reciprocation from the Lord. But I classify that also as a reciprocation through Krishna giving the buddhi, the lami buddhi. Hey, you're doing the activity, what will you do with proper consciousness? So that I classify as non-reciprocation of the Lord, but by giving him buddhi, and by that he's maintaining us. So, and then destruction, of course, cutting the cord knot, destroying the ignorance with the lamp of knowledge. So that's how.
I understand that it works for those who are starting the process, but what about for those who are putting it? And is it for the reason mentioned again, to see the disciple of action?
Those who are not starting yoga, sir.
And our preaching is based in some way, for example, when we go to do group distribution, the fact that people even touching the group, we consider that is.
Yeah.
Part of the awakening or purification process, or taking prasad without even not knowing what is prasad, or get the split in that way. Did that work for people to break that cycle of action and reaction?
Breaking the cycle of samsara, they began the process. Now, will starting the Adhyata Sukriti through bhakti, will that break the samsara? In that case, that's when I feel the preachers have to play a more active role to cultivate them, to take on from where they are at. They've taken the Agyata Sukriti, now need to follow up and give more Agyata Sukriti, more and more. Then only it will break. It doesn't automatically straight away break. You've started the process. But unless it's followed through and they're given more exposure to bhakti. So that's when I said the preachers can look at this framework of what is attracting the people. Are they at the level of active senses? Then expose them more to that holy name or temple service. So depending on the inclination of that person, you engage them in that particular devotional service. But just that starting point alone, but in my opinion, will not break the samsara cycle. We have just begun it. But the good thing is, whatever we have done, it's not lost. Because that's what Krishna promises, it's not going to be taken away from them. They won't lose it. But that alone, unless it is followed up by the devotees and they take it seriously, it won't break the cycle of samsara.
How causes mercy? Causeless mercy. We have many pastimes, for example.
Causeless mercy.
I've been told that the case of Prahlad Maharaj, his previous wife, he overnight, whole night, fighting with his wife, next lifetime. He was awake in the galaxy day, not knowing that it's a galaxy of kings. But next life, he's Prahlad Maharaj. So how that works?
Can you take it offline?
Yeah. Antrasya Bhagavatam Kija, Shilabhagavatam Kija.